there's a change happening in the way we live, the way we work, the way we spend our money and make our decisions. We are evolving to be more conscious in our actions in a way that serves the world and makes it a better place. Welcome to The Ethical Evolution. The Ethical Evolution podcast is brought to you by Ethical Change Agency. I'm Bindi, I'm the founder, and my mission is to help ethical entrepreneurs and holistic healers to find their voice through spiritual coaching and podcasting. I'm honored to bring you the stories of those who create change through healing, kindness, innovation, purpose, and spirit. Understanding that to create collective change, we need to be the change. It all begins with us. Rich Lewis inspires people to discover their true selves and to impact the world through centering prayer. Centering prayer opens us to the gift of contemplative prayer. During contemplative prayer, we sit with God. We open our mind, heart, and body to God, who is beyond thoughts, words, and emotions. Centering prayer does not replace any other forms of prayer. It complements them. In comparison to meditation, where we sit with ourselves, in centering prayer, we sit with God. Richard's latest book, Sitting with God, takes you on the journey to your true self through centering prayer. Through our conversation, it became clear we were on the same page when it came to silence and the importance of just getting started in a daily ritual of transformation. Welcome, Rich, to The Ethical Evolution.
Great. No, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. So it's just fun to think it's Friday for me and Saturday for you.
I know. And you're coming to us all the way from the United States near Pennsylvania. So thank you for joining us. Now, for those who don't know who you are and what you do, can you tell us who you are?
Sure. I have a site devoted to centering prayer, which we'll get into. It's a silent prayers meditation and considered meditation and a relationship with God. So I have a site called silenceteaches.com that is about 5 years old, and I just kind of let it grow from when I started. So it's centered on centering prayer or devoted to centering prayer, has a weekly meditation on Monday mornings, and then I kind of let it evolve. So if I read a book that I enjoy, I put book reviews on it. If I meet interesting people, we do a Q&A interview, and then I'll post it on my site. And then I do some teaching in the community of centering prayer, churches, spiritual directors, different groups, one-on-one coaching, then my book that was published a year ago. So I'm just kind of letting it evolve, but it's a site devoted to centering prayer, and I'm open as to centering prayer. We'll talk about you open to the presence and actions of God within, and I'll let that happen to me, and let this site evolve to what it should include.
Yeah. So for people who don't know what centering prayer is and how it differs from any other kind of prayer, what exactly is it?
Sure. So centering prayer, as I said, is considered meditation and a relationship with God. And I'll explain how you do it. It's been around since the early 1970s. It was created by three Trappist monks. So three Catholic priests in the early 70s saw that other forms of meditation were happening, and they wanted something for the Christian community. So one of them, Father William Menninger, was reading The Cloud of Unknowing, which is, I believe, a 14th century book. And in the book, he kind of read what he would read a kind of a method for practicing in the silence. So it's 50 years old. It's been around since the 70s. Initially, the Trappist monks were teaching it to other Catholic priests and other clergy. Then they rolled it out to the public. And then 10 years later, the Contemplative Outreach Organization was formed in 1984. So they have a website. You could go to contemplativeoutreach.org. It's the main centering prayer organization with a ton of resources. And there's groups that practice in various states in the U.S. But then internationally, you could look and find chapters that practice in various countries. But nowadays, you don't even – we're probably – with COVID – pre-COVID, they were practicing in a location. Mm. Post-COVID, Zoom. So you could actually probably join any group. You could from Pennsylvania, and I could join a group in California, and vice versa. But then let me describe what should I also now describe. So that's a quick history of it and how it came about. So it's 50 years old. Do you want me to just quickly describe how you do centering prayer?
Yeah.
Sure. So you sit comfortably with your eyes closed, and then to begin your time of your silent sit, you introduce what's called a sacred word, usually of one or two syllables. So it could be love, God, ocean, Jesus. And that's signifying that you're sitting and opening to the presence and actions of God within to start your prayer. And then whenever you engage your thoughts, and what I mean by that is if you begin thinking about all the things you were doing before you sat, or you begin thinking about what are you going to do after you sit, and you start planning the rest of your day, you realize you're not sitting with God, you're sitting with yourself and your thoughts and your planning and plotting. So then you reintroduce that sacred word interiorly to come back to the present moment, let go of all of these engaged thoughts, and then let go of the sacred word as well. So you use the word when needed. It's not a mantra. And there are mantra practices. Centering prayer is not a mantra practice where you're using it over and over again. You're just using it when needed. And the last thing I'll say about it is it doesn't have to be a word. I started with a word, but a word is best used maybe for someone who's auditory person. Mm-hmm. I realize I'm more of a visual person. So I use an interior image. Some people are more physical people or athletic, and they want to use their breath. And lastly, some people are afraid they'll fall asleep. So instead of closing their eyes, they keep their eyes open and stare at a spot, you know, 5 or 6 feet, you know, on the floor ahead of them. So that's how you do the practice.
So really, it is a form of meditation, isn't it? However, it rather is. Than sitting with yourself, you're sitting with God.
Right, right. We think of it as it is silent meditation, but it's also considered a relationship with God and opening, sitting with God and opening to the presence and actions of God within and just seeing what happens and how over time that may change you, heal you, transform you.
Mm. So, I mean, in today's age, Rich, I mean, we are so bombarded with so much noise, so much chatter, and, you know, we're bombarded with notifications, media, everything, particularly through COVID. You know, and some people have learnt to thrive through that environment, and it can be hard for them to switch off and disconnect from that. How do you recommend that they can actually disconnect from all that noise and actually find the silence?
So for someone who wants to start it, yes, I mean, it can be daunting, the idea of sitting in silence, particularly like I try to practice twice a day for 20 minutes. So for someone new, that can sound very daunting just to do that. So I would suggest baby steps and one, say, start with one sit a day. Secondly, make it the first thing you do when you get up and maybe even just start with 1 to 5 minutes. So just try it for a month. Make it the first thing you do in the morning and try it for 1 to 5 minutes. And then if you get that down, you know, start increasing the time, you know, to 10 minutes or 15 minutes or even 20 minutes. And then if you get that down, then I tell people to try a second sit and do the same thing with the second sit if you have to. Start slow and work it up. And then eventually, maybe over time, over 3 months or less, you have a twice a day meditation, silent prayer practice.
Yeah, and I know for some people, sitting in silence with themselves is the scariest thing they could ever experience. You know, and trying meditation, some people just go, look, I just can't do it. It's not me. I don't do it. But it's one of those things you just have to start. You just have to try.
Agree. You just have to try. And because I've taught, you know, I teach it at churches and we show them how to do it, and then we do a 5-minute sit together. And most people will say, you know what, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was. And the 5 minutes went quicker, and it wasn't as painful as I thought. So people think it could seem like an eternity, but for most people, they realize actually it wasn't that bad as I thought it would be. And yeah. Then it was kind of nice. I mean, but I would say for people that have, you know, attention deficit disorder and racing thoughts, you can do this type of practice walking. You know, your eyes are open and you're walking and you can actually do this. And I've told that to some people who say, I have attention deficit disorder. What do I do? I said, walk. Do it while you're walking. And obviously keep your eyes open, but do the practice, but walk.
Hmm. Yeah, walking meditation can be the greatest thing, especially when you're on a beach or something where it actually helps you to zone out. It's very good. Right. Yeah. So in terms of, you know, the difference that centering prayer can make for you in your life, what kind of impacts have you seen?
Sure. So I guess I been practicing it since June of 2014. So if I look at myself or think about what I was like before and what I'm like after that, and I would say, you know, I'm a much more excited to live. Not that I didn't enjoy life, but I just seem to enjoy the present moment and what it has to offer a whole lot more. And maybe it's because during centering prayer, you're letting go and opening to the presence and actions of God, and you take that posture with you outside. So you learn to let go and maybe enjoy life more and let go of things that you should let go of and hone in and focus and enjoy the things that are right in front of you. So I'm more excited. I'm definitely a much more confident person, more inner peace and calm, less reactive, still work in progress in that area, but I think I'm more willing to listen to people and not quickly judge or think that's crazy and I don't agree with you. I'm less reactive and more willing just to listen to someone. And I think I get nudges to get out of my comfort zone and try and do new things. So for me, it's a lot of neat fruits as a result of the practice.
Yeah, that's very cool. And, you know, I've seen a very similar thing. Do you notice as well that if you skip it, you notice the difference?
I do. I mean, I miss it. I realize I really, when I skip it, I miss it. Like my first sit, that's what I do. When I get up in the morning and that's what I do. I do my first sit and then begin my day. And I need that sit. It's just, particularly on a Monday morning, because Monday morning, sometimes I wake up and I'm thinking about work and the emails or the phone calls or the things that are going to happen. And I start getting anxious. So I need that sit, and it really calms me down and prepares me for the day. But yes, if I miss a sit, you know, I'm not the same. It's like a reset button. It grounds you and resets you and gets you going or prepares you to get up and go. At least for me, that's what I'm experiencing.
Yeah. And you've mentioned there a couple of times about it being the first thing you do when you wake every day. I think, would you agree that the intention that you set as part of that pretty much sets up your whole day?
I do, because really I think of it as I'm sitting with God and then I get up and walk with God. So it's God and I partnering to get all the tasks done. It's not goodbye God and I'll see you at my next sit. It's I do a second sit usually in the late 1 o'clock or so in the afternoon, 1 to 2 o'clock. So it's not goodbye God and I'll see you too. We sit together, then we get up and walk together. So I feel like I'm partnering with God on what needs to get done throughout the day.
And so you were also saying that you teach others how to do this. What kind of change have you seen in them?
I guess really a lot of the same things. I mean, some of them will say they're just, you know, they're more confident, or they feel like they're living from their true self and the person that God wants them to be, or they're trying and doing things that normally would have scared them that they now have the courage to do because they're letting go of their inner voices that tell them I'm too young to do something, or I'm too old to do something, or I'm not confident enough, or I don't have the right skill set. So they're more willing just to try and do new things. So I think they're just more excited, happier, more confident in themselves, and more willing to just enjoy the present moment.
And something that you mentioned there, which I'm sure would make a lot of people curious, is, you know, who is your true self? Like most people would think, I'm being my true self. Yeah, what are you talking about? But really, what is your true self?
Sure. I would say it's the person God wants you to be. And that's kind of what happens during centering prayers. You're letting go of your thoughts, which include all the things you tell yourself, all the interior voices that you might tell yourself, you know, that I'm not good enough, or I'm too old, or I'm too young, or what the community might tell you, or what your work could tell you, or your family could tell you, or your siblings. Everybody seems to have a voice in your head. You're letting go of all of that and getting rid of it all. And then what's left is what you really want to do and what you really want to try. So when you get rid of all of these thoughts that harm you or aren't helpful to you, what's left is what you really want to do. And what, even though it's scary, perhaps you try it and you move forward.
And it's almost like a bit of a divine guidance, isn't it? Like if you get out of the way and let go and let God, the path is just presented to you.
Yeah, I definitely say so, because when I think about, you know, I've been practicing centering prayer since 2014, all the things I'm doing now, I wasn't even thinking about them.
Yeah.
So I wasn't thinking 6 or 7 years ago, I think I'm going to have a website called Silence Teaches that's going to teach centering prayer. Or I think I'm going to have a weekly meditation that goes off it. Or I think I'm going to do podcasts. Or I think I'm going to teach in the community. Or I'm going to write a book. Like, none of that was even in my thought process. But as I began practicing centering prayer, I began getting all these inner nudges to do these things, or I began meeting people that could help me. None of this happened alone. So I began meeting people that can help me write a book, and meeting people that can help me learn how to coach people, and meeting people that can help me, how do you teach people effectively? So all of this happened because I let go and got out of the way, and then my true self emerged.
Yeah.
And it'll continue to, I guess the last thing I'll say about the true self is it's a journey. So it's not an end point. It's a journey. You're continuously living your true self. So I'm excited to see, in one year, what else will I be doing? In 5 years, what will we be doing? In 10 years, it's exciting to think about, what else will I be doing if I just let go and let God and trust God? What else will I do?
Yeah. And that's something that I talk a lot about on this show, is that, any healing or enlightenment, it is an evolution. It's never ending. And it never ends. So, just keep going. That's the best thing that you can do.
Right. Right. And you don't need to know, or you might even know what you want to do, but you just take the next step. And as you take action, clarity comes with action. If you take no action, nothing happens and there's no clarity. But you just need to know the next step. You don't need to know all the steps.
Yeah, exactly. And I say that to many people, just get out of the way. Don't worry about the how. Just get out of the way and just focus on where you need to be. And it
works.
Yeah.
It's scary, but it works.
Yeah. It's very scary when you're one of those people that needs to know all the steps and how you're going to do it precisely. But when you get out of the way and let go of the how, that's how it really works. So, and it takes trust, a lot of trust in yourself. And that takes practice too.
That's true. That's definitely true.
Yeah. Now, Rich, one question I love to ask guests on this show, and I love it because there's no wrong answer to it. If you were to define what ethical meant to you, what would it be?
I guess when I think of it in terms of centering prayer, centering prayer teaches us to be present, open, accept the present moment as it is, listen, be non-judgmental with others, accept the diversity that others bring to the table, honor, respect, and learn from other people, and even change from it. So, I think it just means all of that and becoming more whole as a result of this. So just being more open and listening and accepting of the diversity that others bring and honor, respect, and learn from it and even change from it. It to me means that's a good definition of being an ethical person.
Mm, love it. Love it. Absolutely love it. So in terms of when you started doing centering prayer and also when you're helping others to start, what would you say is the biggest challenge that you both experience, and how do you overcome it?
I would say just starting, knowing how do I begin, when should I do it, how do I make it a long-term sustainable practice? Mm. So I just try to keep it simple. Make it the first thing you do first thing in the morning. Start with baby steps, slowly increase the time, and then add a second sit after you've gotten the first sit down. And then just be kind and gentle and patient with yourself. If you miss a sit, don't put yourself down. God's not angry at you. God will patiently wait for you to show up at your next sit. So just be kind and gentle with yourself as well. If you miss a sit, and just show up for the next one.
That's it. We can be our own biggest critic, can't we?
Right.
And again, it's getting in the way. This whole point of getting in the way. And when we can get out of our own self-narrative and let that go, that's when we can start to see those results.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So, Rich, if people want to find out more about you, where can they go?
The best place is my website, silenceteaches.com. And if they come there and subscribe, they'll get a free ebook. I have a free short centering prayer ebook for those that want to learn a little bit more about it. And then if after reading it, they're intrigued, They can also check out my book, which is on my site called Sitting with God, A Journey to Your True Self Through Centering Prayer. So silenceteaches.com is the best place to find me. And then if they like social media, they can click on whatever icons they want, whether it's Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, if they want to follow me on any one of those platforms.
And if people want to grab your book, Sitting with God, that's on Amazon?
Yes. So they can find it. I mean, it's on my website, and they can see who's endorsed it. And then they can just click the links on it, and then it'll actually take them to Amazon to purchase. And so it's available. Like, I know you're in Australia. I know what's in Australia, Amazon. So it's on a lot of the Amazons and in the various countries as well. But if they happen to be in a country that they don't have Amazon or don't have access to it, they can go to the publisher's website and the publisher can help get it to them as well.
Awesome. So it doesn't matter where you are, you can get a hold of it.
Right. Exactly.
So is there anything that you're working on at the moment? Is there another book in the works?
I'm probably going to, the gentleman who kind of pushed me to write this book, Amos Smith, kind of challenged me with that. So June, I actually penciled it in the calendar because I've been spending a lot of time promoting the book and getting on a lot of podcasts and doing a lot of guest speaking. So I'll probably start writing the next book June 1, 2022. I'm going to just make it a point just to start writing the next book. Now, I've actually, the neat thing is I was asked to contribute to a, so there's a book coming out in the first quarter of 2022 with a bunch of other contemplative type people. Mm-hmm. I was asked to contribute a chapter on silence to a book that will come out in the first quarter of 2022. So that's pretty exciting. And then during 2021, I was asked to write the foreword for two different books. Two people reached out to me and asked if I write their foreword. So their books are out and I've written their forewords. So I think that helped me realize, you know what, I think I can do it again. I can write another book. That was kind of a practice run for the next book. So yes, there is going to be a second book and I need to start writing it in June of 2022.
So can you give us the exclusive on what it's going to be about?
I think it's going to be a lot deeper into your true self and how, you know, I've found my true self and how others have found the true self and just from listening to others and some of their shared stories. So I think a lot of it definitely will be something to do with your true self and connecting to your true self and living from your true self and how you do that.
Yeah, that seems like a natural evolution based on what you've already done. I guess another question that's come up for me, Rich, is sure. What would you say is the most important thing about silence?
I think the most important thing is that it's transforming. And so it's very needed. I mean, I almost wish if everybody could take a silent pause, even if it's just a minute, the whole world would be a whole lot different because we can be very reactive. And if everybody would just pause before they reacted, we'd have much better reactions. Sometimes no reaction is needed. I mean, sometimes no action is needed if someone else is better suited for the task. Sometimes the task resolves itself. And then other times there is an action you need to take. But I think if everybody took a silent pause, I think we would make wiser decisions with how to move forward on things.
I could not agree more. And it's something that I've learned a lot in the last year, can I just say? But I think one thing that, is important for me in silence or that comes up for me in silence is it speaks the truth. Silence speaks right. The truth, because when you actually are quiet and you listen and you are silent, it's the listening piece, I think, that is really important, because that's when the things you need to hear and understand actually surface. When you let go of all that other chatter and noise, that's when the truth actually comes to light.
No, you're right. And that's my site called Silence Teaches Us Who We Are. If you take the time to be silent and let go of all the voices that might be screaming interiorly at you, you learn more about who you are and the actions you should be taking each day. So silence definitely teaches you who you are if you take the time to be silent. If you don't take the time to be silent, then you might listen to the wrong voices and take the wrong actions or not even begin doing what you should be doing and kind of your natural gifts that you should be sharing with the world never gets to see.
We could all do with a dose of silence, I think. Now, I've got the last big question for you, Rich. What's the change you'd like to see in the world, and how can we bring it to life?
Well, I mean, I kind of just said it, you know, have people take a daily dose of silence. You know, inner transformation, you know, leads to outer transformation. So it's just so important. Just a daily dose of silence is life-changing, and people don't realize it. So even if it's just 1 minute of silence, can be transformational.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the funny thing is I've asked nearly 100 people that question, and the underlying theme is that the change starts with us.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Rich, I can't thank you enough for being a part of the Ethical Evolution. It has been enlightening.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much for having me on, and hopefully it was helpful for your community.
Thanks for listening to the Ethical Evolution podcast. If you're ready to be the change and would love to work with me on finding your voice through spiritual coaching or creating your own podcast with impact, visit ethicalchangeagency.com.